We're going to talk about something that's really important today, and it's energy. It's a very serious topic. Energy security is also national security. And what we're going to show you today is American energy in progress. These are the men and women out there that are powering America, that are going to feed American families, power American jobs, and also American industry. If you remember one thing today, and this is your headline, remember this. Energy matters. We need more of it. TVA is building it, and you're going to see that today. We're going to do a little quick PowerPoint just so you guys understand kind of what the plant does, why we're building, and that hopefully will spark more questions as we walk around. We are not going to do death by PowerPoint. This is a show, so if you want to walk and talk and ask questions, please do so. There shouldn't be any issues with photography. There's no proprietary things that we're going to shoot. So the only thing, we'll get a safety brief when we kit up and go out. Sam will talk about that. So how to stay safe out there. We may have to grab you and move you around a little bit because this is a construction site in progress. So if they lay the hand of God on you and move you, it's for your safety. All right. So let's talk about energy and why this is important. I'm going to bring you back from the world view to our region view, and then Sam and the boys are going to talk about what goes on in this plant, the economics of it, how they're building it, why they're building it. Quickly, does everybody know about TVA, kind of a high-level energy economic development, environmental stewardship? So don't have to worry about that, right? Everybody got that? Okay. This is why we're here today. Energy. Countries that do not produce or consume energy are not rich. Those countries that do consume or produce energy have wealth. They have a better economic standard of living. They have jobs and investment in their country. What I like to say is everything below the line is not a vacation destination. They're either starving or we're going there to fight. Everything above the line are places that you want to visit. Those have economic activity, and energy produces that, right? And you can't answer this.
That's fair.
Does anybody know how much electrification processes here in the United States? Is that 10, 20, 30, 40%? How much of our economy is electrified? Any guesses? 10, 20, 30?
60?
Ed?
Well, 60 was my guess, and I was very wrong.
Okay.
It's 11. Is that right?
22.
Or 20, double that.
Double that. 22% right now. Anybody, China more or less than us?
More.
30%. So we are actually seeing the electrification now of our business processes. They've already have experienced it and are growing it. Let me kind of explain what's happening here in the region. So we are continuing to grow in terms of population and load. Up till February's data, we are also growing for GDP, and that was outpacing the national average. So the area of our TVA seven states growing faster than the national average right now in terms of population and load, and it was GDP. Just those interest rates have hit a bounce for us right now. So that's the only reason we're seeing the GDP kind of on par with the rest of the nation. Another fact that's important, why we need energy, is we have 11,000 megawatts. That's 5 million, almost 6 million homes worth of energy that we have in the queue. And this is for data centers, right? 11,000 megawatts, almost 6 million homes worth of energy that we have to produce for, that they're asking for. So that's why we need energy, because energy helps American families, energy helps and drives jobs and investment in our region. And this is what we're doing. We're right here in Cumberland. That's Sam's team. We are building, or we have on the books right now, plans for 6,200 megawatts. We are under construction for 3,500 megawatts right now. That's about 2 million homes that we're building energy for. But as I said, energy matters, and we need more of it. Any questions so far? Okay. I want to turn it over to Sam and talk about how this works out there, you know, because he's going to explain the plant, how it works. He could also talk about jobs, answer any questions, but we'll just do quickly that, and then we'll get kitted up, get a safety brief, and we'll go out and we'll have some fun today. And then we'll end up going over to the coal plant and see that too. Sir?
So I'm going to cheat a little bit and start you with a video that I just grabbed off Google. It is one of our partners here on the project, but it's a GE video. And essentially what it's going to talk through is how does a combined cycle work. So in the gas world, you'll hear simple cycle and combined cycle, but it's just a quick video on how these things work. And as I start that, I'll pile on to what Scott said. If you dig a little bit, you'll find that there's also a tie between life expectancy and how electrified a country is or a nation. I just listened to an interesting podcast that delved into just the health of the populace if they are more electrified. So not, when we think rich, it's not necessarily money. It's your lives, the enrichment of your lives. So I'll see if I can get this to play.
Turbine power plant generates electricity using heat released during the combustion of natural gas. This type of power plant has two types of turbines, a combustion turbine and a steam turbine, both connected to a generator. With the same volume of fuel, these two turbines generate more electricity when they are used together. In some power plants, each turbine is connected to its own generator. In the combustion turbine, air is injected into a compressor at high pressure. The compressed air then travels to the combustion chamber, where it mixes with the fuel. This air-gas mix ignites and produces exhaust gases that turn the combustion turbine. This turbine drives the generator. The heat of the gases released by the combustion turbine is recovered in a boiler lined with pipes in which water circulates. This water is heated and travels to a tank, where it turns into steam. The steam is channeled towards the steam turbine and makes it turn. The energy produced by the rotation of this second turbine is transmitted to the generator, supplementing the energy already transmitted by the combustion turbine. In the generator, the interaction between the electromagnets of the moving rotor and the copper coils of the stationary stator produces an electric current. Transformers boost the current's voltage to between 225,000 and 400,000 volts, thereby facilitating transmission over the grid's high voltage power lines. The steam travels out of the turbine into a condenser in which cold water is circulating. The steam is turned back into water so it can be returned to the boiler. The fumes produced during the combustion process are filtered before being discharged through vent stacks. As natural gas is used as a fuel source, the power plant emits half as much CO2 as a coal-fired power plant. Combined cycle plants are flexible, responsive, and more efficient than conventional fossil-fired power plants. Capable of reaching full power in less than an hour, they are used, depending on the country, continuously or during peak periods and very cold spells, for example.
I just wanted to level set a little bit to make sure we all understood how these things work. And so I'll focus now really on this particular project. From that slide, I grew up just north of here across the state line into Kentucky. So I'll take what he said and put it into Kentucky terms. But when we say simple cycle, we're talking about a combustion turbine, right? Think about your car engine, right? So you use a mixture of fuel and air, and you turn that motor, which turns the generator, gives me electricity. A combined cycle captures the exhaust, right? Think about your tailpipe. We capture the exhaust instead of sending it to the atmosphere, and we repurpose that to make steam. We take that heated exhaust, we boil water, we make steam. That turns a second turbine feeding a generator. So it's really much more efficient because you're using an exhaust or a byproduct off the original combustion to then turn another generator and create more electricity. And so that is the difference. When you hear simple cycle, combined cycle, combined cycle plants tend to be base load. Right? So we run those, right? It's needed electricity 24/7. We run those a lot. A lot of times you'll see simple cycle units, they are used for peaks. And so that's a difference in how we dispatch that energy. So this Cumberland project, the Cumberland Gas Project, Cumberland Fossil, that you'll get to see in just a little bit, is the largest coal plant in the TVA system. It's a two-unit coal-fired steam generating plant. It has a maximum output of about 2470. Now that we call that nameplate in the industry. Again, I'll go back to the car analogy. When you buy that new car and it says 50 miles per gallon, now that car's 10 years old, 15 years old, you're probably not quite getting 50, right? You're probably getting 45, 42. But nameplate, it was 2470. I think typically we run it at about 2100, 2200 megawatts is probably our standard maximum output over there.
Which is still equal to two of our nuclear units.
That's correct. So a very large coal plant, right? Massive at the time it was commissioned in 1973. For this project, the approved budget was $2.1 billion. That's what we would call overnight cost in the industry. That's all in. That's everything we're doing here. All of the planning, everything that touched it. So it's all in a $2.1 billion budget. Through June of this year, we spent $1.5 billion. So we're entering the stretch run of this project. We say about 1,450 megawatts in replacement. Obviously, there's a difference in summertime production and wintertime production. So that can go up and down, you know, 30 megawatts, give or take, right? We're building here two one-on-one multi-shaft powertrains. All of our centerline equipment, what we call power island equipment, all of the generating the big stuff is GE produced. So we partnered with GE. I'm going to pause right there and explain what one-on-one is. So we have plants in the TVA fleet that have three of those car engines, three combustion turbines that feed one steam turbine. So that would be a three-on-one. For resiliency, redundancy of this plant, we paired a steam turbine with each combustion turbine. In other words, if I have a problem and I need to do some maintenance on the steam turbine, it's not out for all three combustion turbines. And TVA does something that most other owners in the world don't do. We build these things where we can still run the combustion turbine without the steam turbine. In a plant without a bypass stack, that we call it, once the steam turbine went down, you would shut the whole plant down. So if it's a three-on-one, your steam turbine goes down without a bypass, you're stopped, right? So for resiliency reasons, we made this a one-to-one ratio. If I lose a steam turbine, I can still run the other car motor combustion turbine, capture the exhaust steam turbine, and still run that combustion turbine. So we were making it much more resilient. We have air-cooled condensers here. So he talked about condensing that steam back into water. What is not exhausted through the stack, you know, you'll see, I used to tell my kids they were cloud makers, you see the steam coming out of our stacks at power plants, that's water vapor. We do condense a lot of that and reuse it. Right, so it's not as big a draw on water. Here we're using air-cooled condensers. You'll get to see some of those being built. It's the first time TVA has gone with an air-cooled condenser. They're much more environmentally friendly. We use less water. And probably the best descriptor I can give you there is think about your home HVAC. You go outside, you see the condenser, and you see the box fan in it. We have one of those. That's what this is. It just covers acres, right? Much bigger. And we'll actually, you'll get to see one of those in the process of being built. So you'll get to see inside the guts of it from the ground, and you can see how they're building it out. And hopefully there's still a fan laying back there so you can see the size of this thing. They're installing some fans now. Tied to this project, Kinder Morgan is installing a 32-mile, 30-inch gas pipeline. So we have gas nearby. They're just bringing us the feeder line off the main line. And they are in the process of doing that now. We will have some compression on site. In other words, we get it to the right pressure, temperature, before we feed it into our car motor. But they are delivering the gas to us. And then also with this project, we're building a new state-of-the-art 500 kV switchyard. And so your question may be, well, coal plant has a switchyard, right? And it does. It's 1973 vintage. So you said you were around when the coal plant was built. Think about our technology in 1973 versus 2026, right? So quite a bit of difference in efficiency on the switchyard, also resiliency and redundancy. This is an indoor gas-insulated switchgear. So you guys have seen big switchyards. So between breakers on the system, typically in an outdoor one, you have to have 25 feet of spacing between each of those three phases. Ours are about that far apart. And there's a lot of really cool stuff. We'll get you in there and let you see that. But to date, when we commission this will be the largest indoor switchgear in North America. There is a project that's behind us that'll beat us when they go commercial by just a little bit. But this will be the largest to date for an indoor gas-insulated switchgear. Let's talk about a little bit of the history. You probably noticed some maps on the wall as you came through. This is just an interesting fact. By education, Western Kentucky, then Vanderbilt. I'm a geologist by education. And so this was interesting for me. This is the largest of the three known impact, meteorite impact craters in the state of Tennessee. So here is your coal plant, and we are building right here in the first rim of the crater. With any impact structure, meteorites, bullets, they all work the same way. The center rebounds. And so I can point out that hill, and then you get kind of that bullseye type structure around it. Why that was interesting for us, you know, typically you're building on a site and you got soil and then you got bedrock. It's one type of bedrock. Think Middle Tennessee, Clarksville. We went through seven different types of bedrock here as we're building the plant with our deep foundation. So for us in the project side, it was pretty interesting. These impacts, all three impacts for the state of Tennessee, are Jurassic and aged, you know, Jurassic Park. But we were obviously not the one that killed the dinosaurs, right? Much smaller scale. That's Chicxulub and the Yucatan Peninsula actually formed that peninsula. That gets credit for that. So our crater is about 7.5 miles in total. So if you're from this area, it's just a really interesting thing to know. The asteroid that hit Yucatan was almost that big, just the rock itself, right? So that crater is like 93 miles across. But you guys may not share my passion for geology, but I love this stuff. Okay, so the project itself, on the left is just major partners that we've had. A company named Barnard actually helped us prep the site. So the rough site grading, moving dirt and rock around to get it flat so we could build on it. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I mentioned GE. They're providing the 27HA.03. There's actually a poster of that combustion turbine similar to what you saw in the video on the back wall. These are the most advanced class turbines in the world, right? So think really big. And we'll get to see some of those out there. And then very large generators, we can actually show you those as well. D600 steam turbines, if you're interested, a lot of information online. But they are providing all that centerline equipment, that PI, power island equipment. We're partnering with ABB Hitachi here in the U.S. for generator step-up transformers. So that takes the electricity, the electrons off of that generator that I term with the combustion turbine and steam turbine, and they step it up to the service that we need. They're also giving our station service transformer, right? So the power that keeps the light on for the plants. Right, we have to actually take it to a different voltage. We've partnered with Kiewit. They are our engineer, procure, construct partner. That means our contractor on site. So they take that GE centerline equipment, they design all the connections, the piping, the electrical conduits that connects everything, and then they install everything for us. The GE equipment's barged in down at the old fishing dock. And then Kiewit takes it from there, sets it on the foundation, plumbs it all up, connects it. All right, large, large equipment, right? Think million pounds a piece on a piece of equipment. So everything, for the most part, on the center line came in by barge, as well as some of the connecting infrastructure. Working with the city of Aaron, with the air-cooled condensers, instead of pulling water out of the river, I'm actually just tied into a potable water line. So I mentioned it takes a lot less water to run these things than traditional gas plants, to the point we can just tie into an 8-inch water line out here and run the plant. And then CEMC is actually providing all of our construction power. So they're one of our local providers. And so those are our primary points of contact or major contracts that we've executed within the budget I gave you. Some of the milestones, as you can imagine, our schedule has thousands of activities in it, but here's just a few. We completed early site prep essentially 14 months ago, right? So that's just flattening of the site. So everything you see out there today and all the stuff underground you can't see, we built in 14 months. And I'll show you some photos of that in just a second as well. We're working towards backfeed commissioning of the switchyard this fall. That's our first step, right? We got to be able to send the electrons somewhere. And so that'll be our first big step. We hope to have the gas available on site for the combustion turbines this December. And then what we call provisional acceptance is really our commercial operations date. Our goal as a project is to have that ready in September. The provisional acceptance that the enterprise needs is December 31st of 26. So as you can see, we're targeting a few months ahead of schedule for TVA. And then there's a final completion on the back portion of that. That really doesn't matter public facing, but that's essentially when I say, Travis, I'm done here. I'm going to the next project, and Travis and Bucky and team take over the plant and run it. You know, we're out of their hair, we're off-site. So there's a lag there to allow us to work out any problems that Travis sees. Hey, I'm running the plant and I'm getting a funny reading over here, or, you know, we're walking around, we really don't like how this looks. We're still here to take care of those problems for Travis and team. So the civil work that I talked about started in 23. We had about 80 feet of relief across the site. Remember, I'm on the edge of this meteorite impact, so it's a pretty steep hill. You'll be able to see that out there. We had to flatten the site to build on it. So we had 180,000 safe site hours with that work. TVA did execute that work ahead of the EPC that's building the plant. And just to give you an idea of how much work was involved with the dirt and the rocks, that's 1.7 million cubic yards of material that we moved around. So it was a lot of work. We did that in 10 months. In doing so, it created two walls, an upper wall that's a retaining wall so that Old Scott Road still exists, and a lower wall that's also a retaining wall that gives us a nice flat surface to build on. For the upper wall, we installed 10.6 miles of soil nails. If you're unfamiliar with a soil nail, think a big gutter nail. Ours are just 52 feet long, and how thick were they, Kevin? 3 or 4 inches thick?
3
inches thick, 52 feet long. We installed 10.6 miles, right? So that's just about the stability of the site, holding that wall in place. All of that being said, it was a lot of work in a very short period. This is from June of last year. So you guys got to come in from the site. We had the video looping. Quite a bit of change. On what we call the vertical build, everything's designed and engineered in a 3D model. I can pick it up, turn it upside down, see what pipes connect under the ground, tweak it, work through it, and then you can see the finished product as we build it. This would be the generating station. This would be that 500 kV switchyard. You can actually see the retaining walls I talked about to let us make this site flat. When we go out there, there's also an arrangement on the board behind you if you need some information. But these are our administration areas, the control room, an outage control center, water treatment, warehouse. And then those trains are set up that you saw in the video, combustion turbine. These big structures are those heat recovery steam generators where we boil the water, take the exhaust, boil the water. And then this would be your steam turbine buildings. And then all of that feeds back into this gas insulated switchgear where we can send power out to all the communities. Help me with this, Curtis, but it goes to Davidson, Montgomery counties, Marshall, and Johnsonville. That's where we're feeding power out. It gets distributed from those areas as well. But that's our four main points of feed. In this vertical build, we just went over the 1.5 million site hours. This isn't folks planning. This isn't folks engineering somewhere else on site. So you combine that with Bernard's work of 180,000. We're about 1.7 million hours of work on site. And we'll talk a little bit more about the craft here. As of Monday, people badge registered on site. Obviously, they may have been absent that day. Somebody's sick. We were at 1,891. It's 1,191 craft. There's 247 staff, think engineers, people that read instruments, those kinds of things. And then subs. The subs are also... We were at 453. The subs are also typically craft. So when we say craft, what does that mean? TVA is all union work. I think if you guys have been around us much, you realize that, right? So all of these construction jobs are out of the local unions, right? Obviously, a project this big, we reach beyond the closest union, whatever that may be. So we're pulling all the way, I'd say, from Nashville to, where do you guys think? We're covering a large area.
California.
Yeah. So we exhaust our local craft first. Say we have a call for 300 electricians. They can supply us 250. Then we start going out to other halls further away within that union and saying, anybody want to come work? That's important for the community. You guys are familiar with Cumberland City. 200 or so residents. So we injected into the community we'll just say 1,500 jobs, buying gas, eating food, buying groceries, renting apartments, renting houses. So we're really probably positioned all the way from Dixon to Clarksville with our workforce right now. And they are all here. And when I say here, we are running 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. Sunday we run a day shift. And then we use the other shift on Sunday for makeup if we lost time during the week. So when I say here, all of those people are here local.
So a huge economic win for when a plant gets built. How long? So almost 2 years so far.
Yep. Well, I've been around for 3 years. But obviously I was kind of first person in. But yeah, really about 2 years, and we've got another year and a half to go. So big economic. And I'll give you two things to look at. So there is a very nice gas station out here past the high school on the main highway, right? You guys all see it, Pizza Hut in it. 2.5 years ago, I go in. Debbie's the manager there. It's like 5:30 in the morning. They got one register, right? Little country store. And I was talking to her about the project, and she goes, oh, so I probably need to get some help. And I'm like, So when I went in yesterday morning, there were four cash registers with six people working it, plus their little restaurant. When we got here, Buckeye Road that you came in on, there were two houses that existed. Since then, they've built one, two, or are building three, four, five, six houses have gone up along that road, right? So just here locally, the, you know, those are just some stories of real economic impact. Safety is our first priority at TVA. Here we have something called Craft Voice in Safety. For this site, it's a little different approach, but we actually take the folks turning the wrenches, striking the welding rods, and they are the safety committee. So we don't take this management that's here with you today to answer questions. We are not the safety committee. We take people out of the field. They are the safety committee. What do I want to see changed? Where do we need attention? And then those people rotate in and out to get more involved. So you may be on the safety committee for 2 months, and then someone else that's a bowler maker, a pipe fitter, may roll onto that safety committee, but it gets everyone engaged. We do a lot with safety. This is just an example from last month, the month of June. They always come up with a list of four things they need change. Obviously, it's hot right now, so they wanted to add some air movers for buildings that still don't have power or AC, right? Think big fans and getting air through them. Then the electrical man lifts, they wanted to make sure that they're charged before each shift, so when they come in, they can start doing their work, right? They were spending time charging. So think that. So the craft really run the safety here, not the management. And we just find that culture shift is really important for jobs with this many people on it. We want everybody to feel like they own the safety of the site. This is from, to Scott's point on how long we've been here, this is from February 17th of 2023. It was Sam and probably six people working. This is at the point where we had gotten our rod signed in January of 23. We'd gotten our construction permit, and this is us prepping the site. Again, that's that first rim of the crater. You can see how much slope we had. So this is when we started. This is 7 days ago. Just give you an idea. So that's a two-year period. I think probably even more impressive is the next slide. This is 1 year of vertical. So realize we had to clear the area, move that 1.7 million cubic yards to flatten it, build the two walls. So in May 28th of last year, you can see they've started to pour some slabs. They got their tower cranes erected, and that's pretty much it. A year later, this equipment standing, and we're 1 year from being commercial, from producing electrons that can go out through the wires and serve the homes and industry. So 14 months from those photos, just on the vertical build. 1.5 million hours have been put into the site just on the vertical build over that 14 months. That 180,000 was from that May of last year to that 23 photo I showed you, right? Fewer people moving the dirt around. But once we started building, that's when we start bringing in all the labor, all the jobs, right, and start building.